earth holds no treasure but perish with using, however precious they be. Yet there's the country to which I am going. Heaven holds all to me. Out on the hills of that wonderful country, happy, contented, and free, angels are waiting and watching my coming. Heaven holds all to me. Why should I long for the world and its sorrows, when in that land or the sea, millions are singing the wonderful story? Heaven holds all to me. Heaven holds all to me. Brighter its glory will be, joy without measure will be my treasure. Heaven holds all to me. Even if you're the best surgeon in the world, even if you make millions of dollars as an architect, even if men acclaim you and applaud you, even if you have the highest position in the land of President of the United States, if you missed heaven, you are a failure. We talk about heaven, and there are lots of things to be learned about heaven. God has told us enough to whet our appetite. Heaven. That should be the goal of every person here, to spend eternity with God in heaven. Paul said in the 2 Corinthians letter, the 4th chapter, though our outward man perish, and can't we all see this? Day by day, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, temporary. Everything you see is temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 1, Paul says, for we know, we who follow after Christ, we who follow after God, we who listen to the instructions of God and carry them out, we know, we don't guess, we know, Paul says, that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Therefore, Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth doth corrupt, nor where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, where you've made the most deposits, where you've put the greatest effort, where you've done your best thinking, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Hebrews 10:34, Paul said, ye had compassion on me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your own goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, and not on things of the earth. I believe all of us would affirm that these are true statements. that we can know, that we ought to set our affections on those things, and if our treasures are there, we will think on these things. They will be the biggest thing in our heart. Truly, heaven will hold all for us. But you know, I believe there's a false impression given many times that when we leave this world, we immediately go to heaven or to hell. And I would like to call your attention to some things in the 16th chapter of the book of Luke, where Jesus explains more than any other passage that I know of what happens to us when we leave this world. All of you are familiar, I'm sure, with the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Lazarus was a poor man and laid at his gates full of sores, and the dogs came and licked the sores. And he asked for the crumbs from the rich man's table, but he didn't give them. And it says that the rich man died and was buried. But it says that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom, to the Jew, was synonymous with paradise when Christ used the word. This man, Lazarus, who died and was a good and godly man, even though he suffered many things in this life, when he died, he was carried by the angels, the scripture says, into Abraham's bosom. And later on, he was told that he is comforted where he was comforted. He did not go to heaven. He went to paradise, the waiting place of righteous dead. The rich man died. His body was buried, but his soul went to a place of torment called Tartarus, the waiting place for wicked dead. I think we might liken this to a trial. You know, when I live in this life, God is putting me on trial. Everything I say, think, or do, God knows, even before I do it. He's putting me on trial to see if I will serve Him under all conditions. When I die, all the evidence is in. We are told there will be no works in the grave. So therefore, all that I'm going to do for God, I must do it while I'm here. Or all the things I don't do for God, I do while I'm here in the body. Then God shall call me to give an account to Him for the deeds done in my body. But the point I want us to get is that once we have left this world, all the evidence is in for our trial at judgment. We have not gone to judgment yet. The person who has died, who is wicked, has gone to Tartarus. He is tormented because he knows that all the evidence is against him, and that God has said that he will be separated from God for eternity. All the evidence is in for the righteous man. He knows that evidence cannot be changed. In Luke, the 16th chapter, you remember the man who was in Tartarus, wanted God to send someone to his brothers who were still back on earth. This shows that he is still conscious of what's going on earth. He says, send somebody back to my brothers on earth so they won't come to this place or come to the same end I did. And Abraham told him, no, that can't be, because between you and us, there's a great gulf fixed. And those who would come over cannot do it. I can't go over there and tell them what they need to do to come here. They have Moses and the prophets to tell them. And if they won't hear them, then they wouldn't believe if one rose from the dead. So I conclude from this, once my soul is placed in paradise, if I'm righteous when I die, there is no chance of me being lost. Once my soul is placed in Tartarus, if I'm a wicked person when I die, there is no chance of me repenting, changing my ways, and ending up in paradise. We can't go from Tartarus to paradise. We can't go from paradise to Tartarus. We can't go from hell to heaven. We can't go from heaven to hell after we've died. That is settled at the time of our death because all of the evidence is in. So what is my state in paradise? My state in paradise is that all the evidence is in and it's in my favor. And I know that with Jesus' help, I will be saved. I will go to heaven when the judgment comes. That God will pronounce upon me, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. For I was this and you did this. I was that and you did that." And God will give us the reasons why he judged us to be worthy of inheriting the kingdom, the everlasting kingdom. On the other hand, if I have been wicked and stayed wicked all of my life and die a wicked man, I will be in Tartarus just as Barabbas sat in the jail cell next to Jesus, knew that he was guilty, knew that he was a thief and a murderer, knew that he was condemned to die, knew that he would give with his life because all the evidence was in. The judge had already decided what would be the verdict, even though it had not been pronounced on Barabbas. He knew what the conclusion was, and he must have been tormented something awful. And how much it must have rejoiced him to hear the soldiers coming down the hall. No. I can imagine Barabbas sweating drops of blood as the soldiers came down the hall to get him, to execute him, to crucify him. I can imagine Barabbas when the officer told him, "No, not you. Jesus is going in your place. You can go free." Can you imagine that? That will never happen in the next world. No one will ever come down the hall in Tartarus and say, "Well, Jesus has died for you, and you need not be parted from God." That won't happen, because it's all settled. Jesus said this himself. It is fixed. Once we leave this world, it is fixed. We will either be in paradise or we will be in Tartarus torment. Comforted or tormented, one or the other. But not in heaven or hell. Now here's why I'm going to attempt to show you why I believe this. You remember Jesus said to the thief on the cross, when he said, "Remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom," signifying that he knew Jesus, he knew the requirements, he believed that Jesus was coming in his kingdom. He hadn't come yet, but that he was coming. He would be the king. He would offer salvation to all those who followed him, and he believed in that. We have more reason to believe that the thief on the cross was baptized than that he was not. He knew too much about the kingdom of heaven. You say, then why was he being crucified as a thief? All of us were sinners before we believed in Jesus. Before we came to Jesus and asked him to forgive us of our sins. This thief knew that. This thief knew he didn't have a ghost of a chance of getting into the kingdom if he was not baptized into Christ. He knew that. If he was not baptized with John's baptism, believing that Christ was the Messiah, he didn't have a ghost of being righteous. He believed in Jesus. That's why he said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus made this promise to him since he had the power to forgive his sins right there if he hadn't repented before. Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." He didn't say, "Today thou shalt be with me in heaven." Jesus did not go to heaven when he died. Jesus went to paradise, the waiting place of the righteous dead, waiting to be judged by God. When God had judged him, then he went to heaven. Do you remember when Mary Magdalene met Jesus in the garden? Jesus told her, "Don't detain me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." What did he mean by that? His Father was in heaven, not in paradise. His Father was in heaven. Jesus said, "I have not yet ascended to my Father." Where has he been all this time? He has been in paradise those 3 days that he was gone. So he tells her not to detain him because he has not ascended to the Father. Now in the book of Acts we find that he ascended to the right hand of God, exalted. What does that mean? God had judged him. God had given him his reward. Jesus the firstborn, Jesus the first to be rewarded for being faithful to God all the days of his life in everything he did. An example and a encouragement to you and me if we're trying to serve God. If God rewarded Jesus for being faithful and just in all his house, think of what he'll do for you too with the help of Jesus. But he did not reward him by taking him to heaven immediately. Jesus was 3 days and nights in paradise and the thief was there with him. The thief is still there, as far as I know. But Jesus came back from the dead to be the firstborn from the dead. The first one to receive judgment. The first one to inherit the kingdom. When you and I die, we will go to paradise if we have followed God. When you and I die, we will go to Tartarus if we haven't followed God. And all the evidence will be in. There'll be no more testimony. There'll be no more repenting. There'll be no more turning back. There'll be no more coming to God. Because we will be in God's keeping. In God's place of waiting. Until the day of judgment. If you go to 1 Thessalonians 4th chapter, I'd like to turn there with you. Because here we have a picture of the righteous. Not one mention made of the wicked. Because he's not writing to wicked people, he's writing to Christians. If you look at the first verse of the first or second verse of the first chapter, he's writing to Christians. "For if we believe that Jesus died," 14th verse of the 4th chapter, "if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him," or Jesus bring with him when he comes. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. We all believe that, don't we? We all believe in the resurrection of Jesus. But do we all believe that we too will be resurrected even if we die? If we have been righteous even if we die? This was the concern of the Thessalonians, is that all those people who were Christians who died before the resurrection, they lost their soul, they lost their chance because they won't see Jesus when he comes back. Oh, Paul says you're misinformed. All those Christians who have died, who lived in Jesus, Jesus will bring with him when he comes back. "For I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that they which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not go before those which are asleep." He's talking about righteous people. So if we come to the day of the resurrection, all of the dead in paradise that are in paradise waiting for the judgment, waiting to go to heaven, will appear first in the order of resurrection. They will appear first. They will have been judged by God at the resurrection, just like Jesus was after the resurrection. Jesus was not judged until after the resurrection. So after the resurrection, they will be judged. All those people who have been in paradise, all the evidence was in, it was in their favor. Therefore, they are to be released to the joys of heaven. God will pronounce them his sons and his daughters. Jesus will say, "Where I am, there you may be also." What a day that's going to be. Don't be concerned about people who are dead, who have been faithful. They haven't lost anything. They are in a much better way than we are. Because their trials are over, they are comforted by God himself, and they are sure of heaven. But they are not in heaven. Can I make that plain enough? Heaven is the place of final reward. They are still waiting in God's holding, waiting for the verdict, but they are confident because of what they have done and what they know God said, that heaven is theirs, so they are comforted. Now he says in the Thessalonian letter here that they will not go before those which are alive. They will go before those which are alive. All the people in Christ, then, at Christ's coming, who are Christians, will then be judged by God after the resurrection of the righteous. Then those who are alive will be judged, and they will be changed so they can inherit eternal life. Notice he says here, then we which are alive and remain, we who are Christians, we who have followed God, we who have kept God's commandments, we who have been judged by God to be righteous, not by ourselves, by God to be righteous, we shall be caught up together with those who were raised from the dead in paradise. We will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I want you to notice it never says that the Lord will come to earth. We will meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We, who's we? He is writing to Christians. To the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. If I am not in God the Father, if I am not in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is not even writing the book of Thessalonians to me. Then logically we could say the way that he'll take care of the wicked dead is that he'll bring back all the wicked dead. He will judge them. And they will go to hell. He will take all of the living wicked, judge them, and they will go to hell. Logically speaking, if that's the way he's going to handle the righteous, logically that's the way he'll handle the wicked. So when we go to a funeral service, it's a misnomer to say, well, Sister so-and-so was a righteous old soul. She sewed aprons for everybody. She did this and she did that. And she was a faithful member. And we are sure that she's with God in heaven. Those are very nice words to hear, but they're not true. Even if she was righteous. Or here's this old bat that's been an old bat all his life. Never darkened the doors of the church, never gave God a dime's worth of credit, and he died, and they buried him. His soul went to Tartarus. How often have we heard people say,
In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you.
And I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And this old bat is in one of those Father's mansions. I don't mean to belittle people who resist God. I feel sorry for people who resist God because they're losers. You can't win when you resist God. I feel sorry for that man who doesn't give any credit to God, who never lives for God, who doesn't give God his due. He's very careful to give Caesar what is due Caesar, but he's not careful to give God what is due God. I feel sorry for him, because anybody in their right mind wouldn't choose to go to Tartarus or to hell either once, would they? But do you know Judas Iscariot sold his soul for 30 pieces of silver? We say, that's terrible. Sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. But I know people who are selling their soul for a lot less. This is serious business, my friend. It wouldn't be serious if you knew when you were going to leave this world. Remember the rich man who said, I'll tear down my barns and build greater. Then I'll say to my soul, and often we make great plans for ourselves. Well, someday I'm going to serve God. Someday I'm going to repent. Someday I'm going to change my way. Someday I'm going to get in harmony with God. Yeah, what day are you going to start? This man said, I'm going to tear down my barns and build greater. Then I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast many goods laid up for many days. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then who shall these things be? If you miss heaven, my friend, you are a failure. I don't care if you piled up the whole world and you sat on top of it. If you lose your soul, you're a failure. Think how long it's going to last and how short our time here is. 70 years, and if we're lucky, he might give us another 10 or 20. I suppose you get to thinking about these things when you get about 65 or 70. But it would be nice if we got to thinking about these things when we got to be about 12 or 14 or 16 or 18 or whenever we can think. You talk about a bargain. The greatest bargain the world has ever known is me living for God 70 years, and him giving me heaven for a reward. The biggest farce is me living for the devil 70 years and getting nothing but torment with him.
Earth holds no treasure but perish with using. However precious they be, there is a country to which I am going. Heaven holds all to me.
Does it to you? Are you really living like you want to go to heaven? Are you really living like you really want to be there? Do you love God like he wants you to love him? Do you want to be with him? Do you want to be with all kinds of godly people? Somebody very graciously this morning said, boy, you look all dressed up. I said, because I'm going to see the most important people. Is that the way you feel about your brothers? Are they the most important people in your life outside of Jesus and God? Because if you don't like to be with them here, you won't like to be with them there either. If I read correctly, in heaven, everybody will be happy. If you're unhappy,
happy with your brethren here, you're not going to be happy with them up there either. Because you're not going to be there. It's that simple, isn't it? What do you think about it? I don't know how long a man might be in paradise. Jesus was there 3 days. The thief has been there 1,900 years. And probably we could be there as long as 10 million years in paradise, just waiting to find out what the verdict is. But we'll know. I'll guarantee you, when you leave this life, you'll know what the verdict is. Because you know what kind of evidence you piled up in front of God, don't you? We all know, don't we? The prophet said, our sins, we know them. We know them. And if we need to repent of them, it's about time we do it. Because heaven may be closer than you think. And paradise may be closer yet. But that'll be a drop in the bucket compared to heaven. I cannot fathom being in a place where we don't take up space, we can go through doors that are closed, where we can put 10 million souls on a pinhead, but where everything is joy and peace and no troubles. I can't fathom that. And how long will it last? We have little tits of it here, don't we? We have a little taste of what heaven's like. When things are going our way and we're on a downhill pull, we say we've got the world by the tail on a downhill pull. That's a little taste of heaven. Think of having that every day for 10 million, million years. Nothing be longer than that, because there'll be no end. I want to go to heaven. Do you want to go to heaven? You know, there's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no other way. You get to know Jesus real well, and you'll end up the same place he did. God be blessed that he has given us a promise and a hope for eternity.